And we're going to learn Daf Lamed Hey in Maseches Nedarim. We're going to start right from the top of the Amud on Lamed Hey. However, as the first word on the Amud is Esve, it's asking a question. In order to understand what the question is, we have to back up for a moment and see what the Gemara beforehand was talking about in order to understand and appreciate what the Gemara's question is. So on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis happens to be a very short Amud. In the middle of the Amud, Rav Chiya Bar Abba asked Rava a question. If I make an eder saying that a particular item is usur to my friend, meaning I don't want my friend to have hana from that item, and then I give that item itself to my friend, b'matana. It doesn't really matter whether I sell it to him or I give it to him b'matana, but the point is that I transfer it to my friend. And Rav Chiya asked this as a question, does it become mutter? And the basis of the question is, do I say that I really only wanted and I use the word kikari. Kikar is just a loaf of bread, whatever it is. But I use kikari, which means my loaf of bread. So the basis of the question is, when I say that something like that, my object, do I mean to say that it's only us or when it belongs to me? In other words, I don't want you to use my object. Or am I also saying that I don't want you to have hanoah from this object? It happens to belong to me, and therefore I can control it. So that's why I refer to it as mine. But the point is that I don't want you to be able to get this object. That is the question that's presented. Now, of course, the nafkamina would be that if the restriction is only because it belongs to me, the moment I give it to you as a matana, now I'm giving it to you. Now it's not mine anymore. So the restriction should not apply. On the other hand, we say, no, if the object is usur and I don't want it to go to you, so conveying it to you is just is the same problem as, so to speak, lending it to you. It's the same thing. So it should continue to be usur. So that was the question that Rav Chiya asked Rava. So the way the Ran learns the Gemara, Rava's answer is, of course it's usur. That's what I meant to usur. That's what that was my intention. My point was I wanted this to be usur, and it's going to continue to be usur. And if you'll tell me what about Geneva, I'll say nobody thinks about Geneva. If it gets stolen, it gets transferred in another way, nobody thinks about that, so I'm not even going to consider that. The point is that I don't want to be able to give it to you. It's usur. And Rav Chiya said, I'm not sure if I agree with your answer. This is just, remember, Rav Chiya was the one who asked the question, but then Rav Chiya is the one who adds on and says, I don't know if I agree with you. It could be that I only really meant to aser it again while it's mine. So why would I aser it? It's mine anyway. The answer is because even if I invite you over to my house, I want this particular object to remain aser. So therefore, if I give it to you and it's no longer mine, Rav Chiya is of the opinion that it could possibly be mutter at that point. But let's focus on Rava Shita. Rava said adamantly, again, the way the Ran learns, the way the Rava's conclusion was that no, if it's I make it usur, then even if I give it to you b'matana, it's going to be usur. The point is, I don't want to be able to give it to you, and that's why I made this object usur. So once we understand that's Rava's position, that my object is usur, even if I give it to you, so now we can understand and appreciate the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, where the Gemara asks as a question a similar type of question. The wording over here is a little bit tricky, so we have to pay attention to the wording, but the question is the same idea. Esve. Omar Loi. So somebody comes over to his friend and says, Hashileni Parasecha, lend me your para. I see that your ox over here is not so busy. It's not being used at the moment. Can I go ahead and use it? Omar Loi, so of course in our Gemara, the response is, he says to him, Koinem para shani koinu lecha. My para should be usur, that either the word kono or shonene, whatever the girsa is, but the point is, I don't want you to be able to have hano from my para. And then he adds, Nichse alecha im yeshli para elazu. It should be usur to you if I have any other cows, if I have any other oxen, cows, whatever it is. So it should be usur to you if I have other cows. So I added, on the one hand, I said I don't want to give it, I want to make it usur to you. And then I made it conditional on the fact that I may have other cows. If I have any other cows, meaning really I don't want to give it to you, but if I have other cows, so now I could give it to you, but still, if I have other cows now, I'm making it usur as a kinoi. Or the similar Gemara, we'll just read it because it's the same case, just with a different object. Hashilena kardum echa, could you lend me your shovel? Omar loy koinem kardum sheyeshli. Once again, I'm making my shovel aser as a net in a neder that it should be aser to you. Shani kanoi, that it should be as a kinoi nichsay alai, because I'm making my all of my property, not just the shovel. In this case, I'm making everything. Not the first case was just the cow. Now I'm making all my property. Im yeshli kardum ela zet, if I have another shovel. Okay, so I'm making a conditional. If I have another shovel, then this shovel should be usher again. Same thing with the para. I'm making this para usher if I have other cows. Vinimsa, as the Brisa continues and says, the case is, it turns out, sheishloi, he does have other cows. Now, what that should say to us very simply is, okay, so I just made it usher. Now, this is not the same case as matana. Here the case is that he specifically says that he wanted to borrow the object. But the Braisa concludes, and this is what makes this into a question. The Braisa concludes as follows. B'chayav Usr. While the person, while the lender is alive, that item remains Usr. Mace, if he dies, okay, so we understand that the neder was only while I was alive. That part is easy. But here's the kicker. Oy shenosna loy b'matana hareze mutter. Or he gives it to him as a matana. He gives it to him. So while I don't want to lend it to you, I don't want my object for you to use my object. But if I give it to you b'matana, it's going to be mutter, because now it's not mine anymore, and that's not what I asked. I only asked it when it was mine. If I give it to you now, it's yours. You could do whatever you want. Now, very simply, according to the way the Ran learns, this is a straight out contradiction, because we just said when we were explaining the Gemara and Lama Dala that Rava came to the conclusion that I want it to be usher. That's the whole point. I made my object usher, and I cannot give it to you. That's the issue over here. I can't give it to you. I'm making it usher to the point that I can't convey it to you. And Reb Chiya was the one who wanted to say, no, it's only while it's in my house. But Rava was his position that it's also for me to give it to you. And here, based on the way, the conclusion, this is simply a case where I want to borrow your object, and I'm saying I want to make it also to you, either the object also or everything to be also. But the point is that it's going to be also, and it says, but if I give it to you, it's going to be mutter. Because once I give it to you, it's yours. You could do whatever you want. So it's a flat out contradiction. Either Rava holds, I can't give it b'matana, or I could give it b'matana. Okay. Again, I read it based on the girsa that we have in the Gemara over here. There are other Rishonim that learn it's a little bit more complicated. Who's making their property also to who? Is it the lender? Is it the borrower? And who's making the neder? And so on and so forth. There are other ways to read this Gemara in the Rishonim. But for our purposes, I read it so that it's a similar Gemara to the Lama Dalet Gemara as well. In any event, we have a contradiction in Rava. So, the answer the Gemara gives, Amar Rav Acha Bereid Rav Iko, so he says, no problem. Shenitna loy al yedei acher. The way to solve this problem is if I give it to him, if it was given to him through a third party al yedei acher, by somebody else. So you're right. Rava is still consistent that if I'm the one who made the neder, I cannot give it to you, because that is the point of making the neder, that I don't want my object to become yours, or you to be able to use my object, and giving it to you, it's still me giving it to you, it's my object, and it's going to be usher. But if it goes to somebody else in between, then it's going to be mutter. Because now, it's not my object anymore, it's now belongs to somebody else. In fact, the Gemara even says, Amar Ravashi says, Dekanami, I can even show you that's the point of the Braisa, that it's because it went to somebody else. Diktani, because the way the Braisa is supposed to be written, or read, I should say, shenitna loy, it was given to him. V'loy ketani shenosna loy. And not that he gave it, the lender, gave it to the borrower. So it's interesting, as the Ran points out, that when it's written, the way the word is actually written in text, you can't really tell how to pronounce the word. However, we have a Kabbalah, the Ran points out, we have a Kabbalah that the way to pronounce the word is nitna, that it was given. Not that I gave it, but rather it was given. And of course that makes all the difference in the world, especially for the point that we're trying to make over here. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, even according to Rava, that says, I specifically don't want that I should be able to give it to you, even Rava admits that if it went to somebody else in between, and that other person gives it to him, it's also meaning. But the takeaway from this Gemara is that it's not usur forever. The object is not usur forever. The object is only usur so long as it belongs to the original owner. And if the original owner tries to give it, that's exactly where because it's coming from the original owner, he cannot give it, or the person cannot use something that is coming from the original owner. That's the case, that's usur. But once it goes into somebody else's hands, which includes, by the way, Geneva, even Rava, the way the Ran learns, admitted that Geneva also would break, so to speak, the chain, and make it as if it's a new object, but we don't contemplate the case of Geneva. But Rava agrees that if it goes to a third party, now it belongs to a third party, it's like a new object. It's not the object itself that's usur, because now it belongs to somebody else, and somebody else can do whatever they want, including giving it ultimately to the person who is receiving it. So that is the conclusion of the Gemara. So it's not a contradiction. Now the Gemara asks another question. Now Rava is getting into it, and Rava is asking the question. This is a fascinating question. Since we're comparing it to Kachim, and we're saying the Isser of the Neder that I am making is derived from the Isser of Kachim, is there a din of Me'ilah? Me'ilah, we of course know, is the fact that when something belongs to Hekdesh, you're not allowed to take from Hekdesh. And if you do steal something from Hekdesh, you take something from Hekdesh, there's the Isser of Me'ilah. Now the Isser of Me'ilah has two components to it, which is an interesting conversation in the Rishonim over here. What exactly is the Gemara's Kasha? The one component is the fact that I have to reimburse Hekdesh 1 1/5 Karen V'Chomish. I have to add, not only do I have to repay the value, but I have to add an additional 20% or a fifth of the value as a Knas. And then I also have to bring a Korban Me'ilah. So, interestingly, the Ran, when he asks this Kasha, he really focuses on whether I have to bring the Korban. He doesn't even discuss the payment of it. And the payment actually is a little bit complicated, because who pays and who do you pay to, and so on and so forth. But that's a separate discussion. So I'm just going to stick to that's already, so to speak, the next level of the Rishonim discussion over here in this Gemara. But let's just stick to the basics. The basic question is there a din me'ilah? And whatever din me'ilah includes, as I said, the Ran focuses on the fact that is there a korban involved in this case? So a guy says, you're not allowed to use my glasses, and I took his glasses. Okay, so now, is there a din me'ilah because of the fact that the Isser is derived from Hekdesh, which has a din me'ilah or not? Yeah, he said Koinem.
Does it matter?
Okay, so, the Gemara answers on Malay, Tani Tuo. So we actually have a Raisa that teaches this, or actually our Mishnah. Mokoim shenoitlin aleaschar, tipal ano la Hekdesh. Our Mishnah says, remember in the case where I find HaShavas HaVeda, I return the object, and the minig was that they used to pay the person who lost it would pay the finder a finder's fee, and if because of the context of a nether, I'm not allowed to pay that fee. So the fee has to be paid to Hekdesh. Now, why do we pay it to Hekdesh? Lememro ki Hekdesh, because we want to compare it to Hekdesh. Ma Hekdesh yesh by me'ilo, af kainomois yesh behen me'ilo. Just like by Hekdesh in general, if I take something from Hekdesh, the Hekdesh is not getting the benefit of it, there's a din of me'ilo. So too, over here also, by neder, it's similar to Hekdesh enough that there's a din of me'ilo. Now the Ran points out that what's the proof, just because I have to give to Hekdesh, that this makes it literally similar to Hekdesh? He says, because generally speaking, if I want to say that I can't derive a benefit, the halacha is that yelech li yam hamelech. The Gemara in a number of places, especially in Avodah Zarah, uses that concept that if I can't get a benefit from it, I have to take the benefit that I would have earned and throw it to the yam hamelech, where nobody is going to get a benefit from it. By the fact that the Mishnah specifically points out that I have to give it to Hekdesh, means that there's a connection here to Hekdesh, that Hekdesh has, so to speak, his hand in the cookie jar over here, that there's a relationship to Hekdesh. So too, if I'm over the Isser of the Koinem or the Neder, it's going to be, so it's impacting Hekdesh, and I'm going to have to pay. That's why I have to pay to Hekdesh. Now the Gemara says, Kitana, it's really Machloikas Tanaim, whether this is true or not. Meaning, how closely related is the Neder, because of the fact that it's derived from Hekdesh, how closely related is it to Hekdesh? The Brisa says, Koidim kikar ze Hekdesh. Okay, so that's exactly our case. Where the guy says, I want to make this loaf of bread Hekdesh. Va'ochlo. And then, Somebody went ahead and ate it. He made it hektish, and then someone ate it. So ben hu ben chaveroi mo'al. So it very clearly says that whether he ate it or someone else ate it, even though the other person didn't even make the neder, I made the neder on everybody and someone else ate it, that other person also is over the isser of me'ilah, or has the ramifications of a din me'ilah. And then the Gemara says, this is a separate point, but lefichach, or the Brisa rather, lefichach yesh la pidyon. Therefore, because it's so closely related to hektish, it has the same halachas of hektish, and it has a pidyon, means it could be redeemed. It could say it's only usur because of its value. Now, if I pay out the value, I give the money. Now, again, this is a discussion, where and to whom am I going to give the money? But the point is that I pay out the money, then the object that was usur is redeemed. It no longer retains the Isser. Okay, because it's so strongly related to Hekdesh. But we see very clearly that it's part of Hekdesh. Kikazu a lie, take out the Lamed Hekdesh. Now, let's say I say, this loaf of bread is also to me, not, it doesn't have to be me per se, but it's also to an individual, va'achla, and then he goes to eat it, and he ate it. Hu mal, chavere loy mal. In this case, only he ate it because the Isser was on him, and his friend is not mal. But this is a much weaker type of hektish, because, as we'll see in a moment, because it's only also to one person. Lefichach ein la pidyon. Therefore, there is no din of pidyon. It's not really hektish. It's hektish only for that one individual. Divrei Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir Shita. So we see very clearly, this would answer the question, that there is a din of me'ilah. However, the chachamim argue, and they say, no, benkachu, benkach loy mo'al. No, there's no real din of me'ilah over here. Lefi she'en me'ilah, but kainamis, there's no such thing. A kainam is a nether. A nether is its own isser. Yes, I know it's based on the fact that it's hektish, and we derive it from the isser of hektish, and so on and so forth. But lemais, so at the end of the day, it's an Isser Neder. It's not an Isser Hekdesh. It doesn't belong to Hekdesh. And the Chacham will argue on, so to speak, this whole concept of correlating it and making it so connected to the din of Hekdesh. So, to answer this question, it seems very clear that it's a machloikas. It's a machloikas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether it has the attributes of the Me'ilah, like Hekdesh itself. So, Amar Le Rav Acha Bereider Rav Avoya Le Rav Ashi. So now he said to Rav Ashi, Kikari Alecha. So now we have a very interesting question. Now this is going along the lines that it is Mi'ilo, that there, it is like Hekdesh, okay? Even though, as we said, we established that it's a Machlekes and the Chum argue, but let's continue on that vein, in that direction, that it is a din of Hekdesh. So now what happens in this case, where he says, Kikari Alecha, I say, I want, here, my loaf is going to be ushered to you. And then I end up giving it to you. Now we'll talk, according to the Achrenim actually, discuss the fact that, I think it's the Chazon Ish, discuss the fact that when I gave it to you, you immediately benefited from the transfer. For whatever reason, you immediately benefit from the mere fact that there was a transfer over here, so there's a benefit. And by Hekdesh, normally that would be the case, that the moment you have the Hano, that's when the din of Me'ilo applies. So here, the problem was that I tricked you. I made the loaf of bread also, it's my loaf of bread, I made it also, and then I handed it to you. Okay? So Mimol, who should be over the Isser of Me'ilo in that case? Limol Noisin. To say that the one who gave it should have the Isser of Me'ilu again, because he's the one who orchestrated the whole thing. The problem is, Holo Yasir Ole, it's not also to me. Yes, I created the Me'ilu, I created the Isser, but I am not Usser. And I did not do anything wrong. I did not derive the benefit, which is usually the catalyst that brings about the din of Me'ilu. It's what makes it Me'ilu, is getting the benefit from Hekdesh when you're not allowed to. So I made the Isser, but I'm not the one that's Usser. Okay, so I'm out of the picture. The creator is out of the picture. Now, Limo Makabo, what about the Makabo? The one who received the benefit, Yochol, the Omar, he's able to say, Hetera be'isi, Isura loy be'isi. It's like, when I received it, I would never have taken it if I knew that this was Usser. Now, this is a little bit different than Me'ilo, where he's able to say, since you're giving it to me, b'matana, you're handing it to me, I was taking it in the first place and receiving it in order to derive the benefit, but I was receiving it, which is a kinyan. I only made a kinyan to the extent that I thought I was allowed to, and it wasn't going to be a problem. But if it was going to be a problem to make the kinyan, I would never have made the kinyan, and therefore I never would have had the benefit, and it shouldn't be usher. So again, why should I be over the usher of Me'ilu? You tricked me into taking this object. So that was the question. Is there? We seem to say there is a din of me'ilah, but we can't figure out who should be the one to pay for it. Amar lei. So remember, this was a question to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi answered, mikabel mo l'kashiyotzi. So the mikabel is either when he. So a little bit different than what I originally said. Originally, I said in the Havamina of the Gemara, we thought that there was a benefit just from the receiving of the object. We say no. The case over here is first I receive it, and then it's sitting on my shelf in my closet someplace, and then eventually a month later I take it out of the closet and I use it. So then I'll be over the Me'ilah. Because that is exactly the way Me'ilah works. Once you take some, when you get the benefit from it, with, that is not part of the kinyan, just the benefit itself, is when you're over the, it says, Anachanami, the Mekabel, even though he was tricked and he didn't know, which is exactly how Me'ilah works. Me'ilah works even B'shoigig. By Hektish also, I didn't know it belonged to Hektish and I took it, there would be a Din Me'ilah. So too over here, when I take it out, then there's gonna be a Din Me'ilah. As the Gemara itself says, Shekol HaMoitzi Mois Hektish L'Chulin, anybody who takes money from Hektish and makes it Chulin, uses it in a mundane way, Kasover Shal Chulin Hu, cause he thought it was Chulin, Moil, that's when the Din of Me'ilah applies. So too over here also. Now again, it has to be that the distinction is that I'm not getting the benefit in the process of the kinyan. Because if it's in the process of the kinyan itself, then I could say I don't want to make the kinyan. Don't create the problem with, you don't force me into making a problem. But if I already took it, I took it into my rishus, so that was not a problem. And then I only got the benefit of it later, and the benefit later I didn't know. I didn't realize that it was usur when I got the benefit. That's exactly when the context, the concept of me'ilah applies, and therefore there will be a din, again, and there will be a din of me'ilah if you hold that there's a din of me'ilah. Don't forget that we already mentioned that Chachamim argue on the whole concept, and they hold that there is no din of me'ilah here at all. So let's not forget that that's, you know, the Chachamim Shita, that there is no din of me'ilah. Okay, that takes us to the bottom of Lamed Dalid, Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph. Now, now we're up to the next Mishnah on the top of Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis. So this Mishnah is a continuation of all the various things so far. We're talking about a case where a guy makes a neder, and even though it's us, he makes a neder that I'm not going to give you hanah, and even though there are things that are clearly not allowed to do because that's hanah, but there are exceptions to the rule, like we've already saying, like paying his shekel or returning his aveda and so on and so forth. So this Mishnah is a continuation of that concept, and a list of a few other things that are going to be mutter, even though their relationship is now one of iser, of an eder. So the Mishnah continues. V'toyrimes chumasoi, umaisroisov ledaitoi. A person is allowed, even though he made a neder, that I'm not allowed to give. So Reuven and Shimon, Reuven is not allowed, let's just make it simple. Reuven's the one who's not allowed to do something. He's not allowed to give the benefit to Shimon. And the halacha is, even so, Reuven is still allowed to take Trumas and Maisers for Shimon. Now, that's one way to learn this. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what the case over here is. See later, not today, but we'll see later in the Gemara what the case over here is, because it's a little bit complicated. Are we talking about a Kohen that's taking it, or are we talking about somebody who's separating the Trumas and Maisers for you, so that the rest of your food is going to be Chulin? So we'll see, and therefore maybe the Isser is, if you're the Kohen, the receiving. But the point is, v'toyrim es trumosa, you can take the truma and the maisos ladaita. Once again, the Gemara is going to have a discussion of whose knowledge. Is it the knowledge of the one who owns the food? Is the knowledge of the person that is taking? But the case is that we know the guy said, whoever takes trumas and maisos from my food, I give permission for you to take it. So that way you had permission to do it. So the halacha, but not specifically, you weren't made a shliach. If you were made a shliach to do it, that's for sure going to be a problem. Here the case is that he just said a general announcement. If anybody takes trumas and maisos from my food, I'm away, I'm out of town, someone else take care of it for me. That's going to be mutter. The next case of the Mishnah is, and this is what we're going to focus on more today, this case, umakrev aleh kine zovin kine zavois, that if the person who is usher to give the benefit happens to be a kohen and he's working in the Beis HaMikdash, and this guy who made the nether shows up with birds to bring for a korban, he was a zav, or he's bringing it for a zava, kine yoledes, or for example, the guy's wife gave birth, so you have to bring a korban to be matter after the leida chatas v'ashamas. Those are the two types of karbonos that a person brings. So the halacha again, the point of the Mishnah is that it's mutter for the kohen to bring those karbonos on behalf of the guy who made the neder on him. Okay, that's also not considered a benefit, and we'll see why in a moment. And last case of, the next part of the Mishnah is a malamdoi medrash halachas v'agodas. You could even teach. So obviously, usually you view teaching, I'm giving you the knowledge, that's considered a benefit. The halacha is to teach medrash, the halacha or agodos, general agodos in the Gemara, that's going to be mutter. Avalo yilam denim mikra, but you can't teach him chumash. And again, the Gemara is going to have to go and explain to us why, what the difference is between the various types of Torah are. But the teaching chumash, that's going to be asur. But even on that note, Avo Malamed Hu Esbanov Esbenoisov Mikra. So even though I can't teach you, the person who made the neder, directly, I can't teach him Chumash, but he could teach the children Chumash. That's going to be, I could teach his children Chumash. So, and Tosfos deals with the fact that, what do you mean? I'm still benefiting from the fact that he's teaching my children, otherwise I would have had to hire a Malamed in order to teach us. So Tosfos says, no, I don't really have a Chiyuv to hire a Malamed to do it. Again, the Rishash has a problem with the way Tosfos learns, but the point is that Tosfos does say that simple teretz, that I don't have a chiyuv to spend money on a teacher, so therefore it's okay. So the fact that he's volunteering to do it, that's not considered saving me any money, as we've seen earlier in the same concept in other Mishnayos, that when we say Isra Ano, we talk about a financial, monetary benefit. So the fact is, so the question here would be, am I saving the guy money from spending money or not? And the way Tosfos learns, it's considered mavriya chari, so therefore it's going to be mutter. It's not like I'm putting money in your pocket, so it's going to be mutter. Okay, so those are the cases in the Mishnah. Now we're going to go through them a little bit one at a time, but not starting necessarily from the beginning. First, the Gemara is going to jump already to the second case of the Karbonis, because the Gemara asks the following, Yibay Luhu. The Gemara asks the question, Hani Kahani, so when Kahanim are doing the Avoido in the Beis HaMikdash, okay, so we're really skipping to the Korban case first, but when Kahanim are doing the Avoido, Shluchei Didon Havel, are they considered our Shliach, meaning the one, a guy brings a Korban, so Mr. Ruvain's bringing a Korban, so when the Kahanim brings it, is he Ruvain's Shliach, or Shluchei Deshmaya, or is he considered a Shliach, he's just a government employee working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a direct shliach, it's indirect. So the Gemara of course asks, L'may nafkamina, what difference does it make? We all know that he has to do the Avoida and that's their job to do the Avoida. What difference does it make what the relationship is? And the Gemara answers, our case is L'mudar Hano, for somebody who makes a neder that you cannot be the one giving benefit to the other guy. So if the kohen is the one who's not allowed to give a benefit, if he's a shliach, so the Gemara says, so if you're going to say that he's a direct shliach, he's giving him hanah, and then of course it would be usur. That would be exactly the point of making the neder. I'm not allowed to give you a hanah, and now bringing the korban on his behalf would be giving him hanah. So it would be not permitted if he'd be considered a direct shliach. The yamer shluchei d'shmaya, sorry, but if you consider him, no, even though I'm bringing your carbon, I'm not really working for you. I'm working for Hashem. And therefore, it happens to be that you get the benefit of it indirectly, but that would still be mutter because at the end of the day, I'm bringing the carbon for Hashem, not bringing the carbon for you. I'm not your direct shliach. Now, a couple points over here. First is the fact that the Gemara in Kedushin already answers this question. And the Gemara very clearly says that it's, in the Gemara in Kedushin says that it's Shluchei Deshmaya. This Gemara is going to continue to Lamed Vav as well. So we're not really going to answer the question 100% today. But the Gemara in Kedushin does already come to, but even so, the Gemara over here is asking in this context. It makes a difference. We want to know how it works out with the Isser Hano. Okay? We want to bring a riot from it. And the other point is, again, the other question that everybody asks over here is, how are you able to be a shliach of the, how what's the havamina to say shluchei didon, meaning that you're a shliach of the person that brings the carbon? But even so, that's the raya actually, that the Gemara in Kedushin brings, that it must be shluchei shemaya. Because normally the rule is, and this is just a good general idea to know, that the rule is that that it's shluchei, a shliach can only do what the mishaleach asks can do. Meaning, I could get married, so I could ask my friend to help me get married, because I could do it, it's just he's an extension of me. But if I cannot do something, he cannot be my shliach. I can't ask him to do something that I myself cannot do. Not because of my situation, but halachically. I'm talking halachically. If halachically I am not somebody who's in that parsha who can do this, then I cannot be a shliach. And that's the raya that the Gemara in Kedushin brings, that therefore shluchei shemaya, because Yisrael can't bring a korban. So how could I bring you, how could I be your shliach to do something that you yourself can't do? If Yisrael can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash and bring the korban, so he can't do it. So how could he appoint somebody to do something that he can't do? So therefore, it must be, that's the Gemara in Kedushin's raya, that we must be shluchei d'shemaya. In any event, but let's bring back to our Gemara, that's the Ran makes that point. Bring it back to our Gemara. Do we have a raya from our Mishnah? So, right away, the Gemara says, Toshima, I bring you a raya at the time. We learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Makriv alof tine zovin kine zovis. Our Mishnah goes ahead and tells us that you could bring karbonos. So, right away, the Gemara says, I amrit shluchei didon. If you hold that I am your personal shliach, kamahani lei, so I would be giving ano. And so why would it be mutter? Must be, so you have to add in, you have to conclude the sentence of the Gemara here. It must be that we say that no, I'm not your shliach, and that's why it's okay, it's permissible for me to bring the karbonos on your behalf, because really any kohen that's working in the Beis HaMikdash is working with Shemayim, is working with Shem Shemayim, is not working on as a personal shliach. And that's why it's mutter. However, the Gemara doesn't accept that answer. It says, Ulu Taimech. If that's your logic, and the point is that Kayhanim in general are working L'shem Shemayim, or L'shemaya, Shluchei Shemaya, to phrase it correctly, so listening, Makriv Alov Karbonois. Why do we have to give specific examples in the Mishnah? Just like we say Meshav Aveda, we don't give examples, we just say all Avedas. It doesn't make a difference what the Aveda is. So to over here also, Karbonis is Aveda, just say Karbonis. Why do we list those specific Karbonis? Must be something unique about the Karbonis. Hello, so you're right. The reason we list those Karbonis is Mechusre Kaporo Shiny. These are karbonos that have a different element to them. They're not karbonos because somebody did something wrong, even though the karbon that you bring is a katas and an asham, but it's not really because of an avera. I mean, think about the classic example is the yoledes. A woman who has a baby has to bring a karbon. She didn't do anything wrong. Okay, so of course, I know there's a drasha about what she said. Okay, fine, but the point is she didn't really do anything wrong. So what is the point of the karbon? But the point of the karbon is it just makes her mutter to eat kachim or go into the Beis HaMikdash. It lifts an element of tumah. And that's what we call mechusrei kapara. They're missing the kapara. They're just missing this part of the carbon in order to, so to speak, bring them back into a kachim, a kedusha type of level. So for that, as we'll see in the next line of the Gemara, for that, you don't need, that's not a regular carbon. A regular carbon may be considered a shliach. But for these type of karbonos, you don't need a shliach at all. What's the raya? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's read the next line of the Gemara. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Tzrichin Das. Normally, when you bring a karbon, you have to have knowledge. You have to know that you're bringing the karbon for this purpose. Chutz mimechusrei kapara. Except in these type of cases, where the only point to bringing the karbon is to get rid of is. Because you were lacking this kapara that you need in order to be able to be back to the level of kedusha, and what's the proof that I don't need an appointment here? Sharei odo mevi karben albanov val benoisav haketanim, because a father can bring a karben even on little kids, and obviously little children are never considered having the knowledge to appoint and can't make a shliach. Shenemar, because it says zois toiras hazov. The Torah means this is the whole Torah. Whenever we say there's a whole Torah, it's not meaning there's more than one case. It doesn't mean just the regular case of a Zav. And we darshan ben Gadol, ben Katan, whether the Zav happened to be a Gadol or a Katan. Now, by definition, a Katan could become a Zav. Even a little kid could become a Zav. It's possible. And they have to bring a Korban. But that kid can't appoint a Shliach, so it's, and the father can bring the Korban on his behalf. So we see that, you know, that there is no, so to speak, connection specifically to the person. It just has to be brought on his behalf, but there's no connection coming, deriving from the person who is getting the benefit of this carbon. And that's why our Mishnah specifically and uniquely picks these type of karbonos, because there is no connection between the person, even a father, is not the person who is not the Zav. So he's not the one bringing the, so the person who needs the kapara is not bringing the carbon. It just happens to have an impact on him. So there is no relationship between the kohen that's bringing the carbon and the person who's getting the benefit. It just sort of works out. I mean, think about it like this. Every morning we bring a carbon tamid. Everybody needs the carbon tamid. Or we need a bikurim that's brought for, you know, for chodosh. So we bring the carbon so that everybody can have chodosh. Now is there, what? The Omer. When we bring the carbon Omer so that everybody can have chodesh. We don't think about it like, ooh, this kohen did you a favor. It's just kind of, it happens. It removes a restriction. It removes a cap. So too over here also, it's just removing this issue that the person has, but it's certainly not direct. Therefore, one can say from this Gemara, again, it's in the middle of a Gemara, we're not really concluding the Gemara, but at this point in the Gemara, we could say, if anything, we see really bringing karbonis, we can be considered a shliach. For a regular, so to speak, a regular carbon, the kohanim could be considered a shliach. But, for these type of karbonis, since there's no connection directly, somebody brings the carbon and then somebody else gets the benefit, there's no connection, that's why it's going to be mutter in this case. Okay, at least at this stage in the Gemara, that's what we're going to say. We could also say, the Gemara is saying, now you're telling me that anytime it says Zois Toiras about a person or a type of individual, that it includes other cases, and you say it includes even a katan. So Elamayata, I'll ask you a question. Look, Rabbi Yochanan, according to this answer, that Rabbi Yochanan said Toiras Zov includes a katana or a katan. So Zois Toiras HaYeledes. So when it says Toiras Yeledes, you talk about a Yeledes, means there are other cases, not just a regular woman. What would that include? It would include Ben Katana Ben Gadoila. So it would be the same thing. It should l'chayre include that extra case of a katana. Problem is, we have a technical issue. Katana bas leidehi. Is it possible for a little girl under the age of 12 to have a baby? Ba'atani, Rabbi kameda Rav Nachman. Rabbi taught in front of Rav Nachman. Shaloi shnosh mishamshes b'moich. There are three types of girls that are allowed to use some sort of item, prevent a moich, to prevent becoming pregnant. The three cases are Katana, Muberes, and Manika. So let me just talk about the number two and number three first. Muberes is a pregnant woman. We want to make sure she doesn't get pregnant again because we are concerned, apparently, physically it's possible if she gets pregnant the second time after she's already pregnant, it'll destroy the first baby, so we don't want that to happen. Manika is a woman who's nursing, so as we all know, once a woman becomes pregnant, then she's not able to nurse anymore, and that becomes the lifeline of the baby. So we don't want a nursing woman to become pregnant, so therefore she's allowed to have relations with her husband, but in a way that she can, with a moich, to make sure she doesn't become pregnant. In any event, the point that we're focused on is the case of Katana. Well, and the Gemara is going to explain, as the Gemara continues, Katana, and the reason why Katana is not, so to speak, make sure she's not supposed to get pregnant is Shema Tisaber, because she might get pregnant if it's Thomas, and then she would die. So we see that. Now, okay, this is also based on the Gemara and Kedushin, whether she will die. The point is, if she doesn't die, that means she wasn't really a Katana. But the point is that we see that a Katana is not, there is no case where a Katana is going to have a baby. So if that's not the case that the Pasuk is referring to, so what does Zois Toiras Yeledes mean? What is the extra cases of Yeledes? So the Gemara answers, because it can't mean a Katana in that case. And therefore, the Gemara, of course, is asking this as a question. So by Zav also, it shouldn't mean a katana. And the Pasuk has to mean something. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tahi Zois Teres HaYeledes. In the case of Teres HaYeledes, what are we referring to? Ben Piches Ben Shoito. It's referring to even a girl who does not qualify as a smart girl, as a Shoito, has the din of a Shoito. She also has to bring a carbon. Now, how is she able to bring that? She's a Shoito. She's similar to a katana in the sense that she doesn't have das. And the Gemara answers again, Adam may be carbon al ishtoi shaita. A husband is able to bring a carbon on behalf of his wife, who is a shaita, even if she doesn't know what she's doing. Like Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda taught us, Adam may be carbon asher al ishtoi. A husband has to bring a carbon asher on his wife. Meaning, when a wife is chayav to bring a carbon, what's her status? A woman, when she's married, all the money that she has goes to her husband. So she really technically is considered poor. And the fact is that if the husband is rich, he brings the carbon on her behalf and he brings it as a rich person. The whole carbonus chayav is also all carbonus that she's chayav. So the husband's going to bring on her behalf. So she's not the one bringing the carbon. Shekach kosev law. That's what the husband writes in the Ksuba, Va'achrayas, the Islach Alai, and I'm taking responsibility, Min Kadmas Dina, from before this situation. Meaning the husband takes responsibility for everything that his wife has to take care of, including the Korbanis. Anyway, so that's what the Pasuk says, Zois Teres HaYeledes, that a Yeledes has to bring the carbon. It's not really her bringing it, it's her husband will bring it on her behalf, and therefore it could apply even in the case of a Shaita, of a girl who doesn't really have her own opinion on her own das. So and that's what the pasuk is coming to include. Okay, so we're going to stop over here in the Gemara over here, but just to recap, so it comes out right now that the Zois Teres Zav is a unique carbon because it's only for Mechusrei Kapar, it's only to help her out, but it's the type of carbon that you don't need a direct connection between the Kohen bringing the carbon and the person who is on their behalf bringing the carbon. So it's not a Shliach. So Mamela, at this point in the Gemara, we don't really have a Raya whether Kohanim doing Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash are Shluchei Didon or Shluchei Dishmaya. So we'll stop at this point in the Gemara.